congregating at the back of the masjid at the entrance. The brothers can inshallah try and fill the extreme, your extreme left hand side. There's carpets in the veranda also outside. Inshallah, the brothers that are in the masjid already make some ikram. If you can fill that, inshallah, it'll create space for the others that are coming in. There's also space upstairs. Children are requested, all the youngsters are requested to please go upstairs. There's also facilities downstairs in the basement. In front of the wuzu khana, there's stairs to go downstairs. So those brothers that are coming in now, there's brothers still standing at the back. Inshallah, if you can go downstairs, there's facilities there also. Just one or two announcements while we are waiting. Our respected guest, the Imam of Masjid Nabawi, will be making the salah. So obviously he's a musafir. So the procedure very briefly, when the Imam is Musafir and the Muqtadi, that is the followers, is Muqim, we will follow the Imam for the entire Salah as normal. When he finishes the second rakat and he makes Salam, the Muqtadis, when they're reading the At-Tahiyyat, will read Tashahud, Ashadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and stop there. Thereafter we will remain silent till the Imam makes the Salam. Once the Imam has completed the Salam, then we will get up, make takbir softly. Allahu Akbar, stand up for the third rakat. We will not recite Surah Fatiha in the third rakat. We will remain silent as if we were behind an imam. We will pause till the time that it takes to make Surah Fatiha. Estimate the time. Thereafter, Allahu Akbar, we will go into ruku. Carry on with the salah as normal. In ruku, we'll recite our tasbihat, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana lakal hamd, go into sajda, recite the tasbihat, etc. And then Allahu Akbar, stand up for the fourth rakat. We'll remain silent for the period that it takes to recite Surah Fatiha. Thereafter, we'll go into ruku and complete the salah as normal. In other words, we will complete the salah as if we were behind an imam. Another thing, I'm going to repeat that again for those who didn't understand. The imam, being a musafir, he will make niyat for two rakats. We will make niyat for four rakats. The imam, when he completes in his second rakat, he will sit in tashahud. We will sit in tashahud with him. We will recite up to Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and thereafter remain silent till the salam of the imam. When the imam makes salam, we will not make salam. We will say Allahu Akbar silently and stand up. Remain silent for the period that it takes to recite Surah Fatiha, as if we were behind the imam. Then we will go into ruku, sajda, etc. as normal. Stand up for the fourth rakat and the same thing again. Remain silent for the period that it takes to recite Surah Fatiha, and thereafter complete the salah as normal, as if we were behind an imam. Also, the program thus far in Stanger and in Maritzburg is that they have the program immediately after the first salah. So the brothers are requested to remain seated, in fact come closer immediately after the first salah. The program will take place. After that, we will complete our sunnats and witr, etc. Those brothers who haven't made the sunnats, there's still time. We can make our sunnah salah. We estimate that the Imam Sahib will be here in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Please, a lot of brothers are standing at the back. If the brothers can, inshallah, stand up and make the safs, this will create some space, inshallah. Let's stand up and make the safs. Let's stand as close together as possible, ensure that our safs are straight. Comes in hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayrukum alyanukum manakiba fi salah. He said, the one whose shoulders are the softest, in other words, he accommodates others in salah, he is the best amongst you. So a little bit of taklif, inshallah, let us stand as close together as possible. Make our shoulders soft and accommodate one another. And the brothers can sit down, inshallah. Please, those brothers that are still at the back and still haven't found space, proceed either to the basement or upstairs. Those brothers that are musafir will complete the namaz with the imam. Those brothers that are musafir will read only 2 rakat salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا اعتدلوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل إلا تنفروا يعذبكم عذابا أليما ويستبدل قوما غيركم ولا تضروه شيئا والله على كل شيء قدير إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم في سبيل الله ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون لو كان عرضا قريبا وسفرا قاصدا لاتبعوك ولكن بعدت عليهم الشقة وسيحلفون بالله لو استطعنا لخرجنا معكم يهلكون أنفسهم والله يعلم إنهم لكاذبون عفى الله عنك لم أذنت لهم حتى يتبين لك الذين صدقوا وتعلم الكاذبين لا يستأذنك الذين يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر أن يجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم والله عليم بالمتقين إنما يستأذنك الذين لا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وارتابت قلوبهم فهم في ريبهم يترددون الله أكبر Allahu liman hamida. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد beloved respected elders brothers السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Beloved, respected elders and brothers, your great gathering here and your coming here with so much of love and keenness is the dalil and the proof of your iman and that of your love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand that whatever is linked to whatever in thing, that's how its value will be. Like we understand as we know, if a rock which is linked to the Ka'batullah, we would give it the respect because it belongs to the Ka'batullah. Likewise, what comes from Madinatul Munawwara, we appreciate it that this comes from Madina Munawwara because of his attachment. In a similar manner, because our Sheikh Fazilatul Sheikh Salah Al Budair is the imam of, we can say, the second most important masjid in Islam, the place where our beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah, migrated to, and where Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried. And Sheikh, can you imagine, is performing salah so close to Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where all the athar and all the history of Madina Munawwara and the actions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so close by. I remember one time when I was there with one new Muslim, so a brother from that place, from Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, asked him, Sheikh, what do you feel when you are in this Mubarak place? He says, everywhere I walk, I think I'm walking on the places where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have walked, where Sahaba radiallahu anhum had walked. So in a similar manner, you can imagine how close Sheikh is at that place constantly, alhamdulillah. And Sheikh, alhamdulillah, comes from a place called Ahsa. He belongs to the tribe of Tamim. And his forefathers, were of that delegation that went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as the Wafd Abul Qais. This is the delegation that went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his forefather lineage. Bahated the Quran al-Karim in his village, in his town. Thereafter, Sheikh sought the knowledge of deen, became a qazi, an Islamic judge, and he resided in Dammam, Riyadh, and now, alhamdulillah, he's a resident of Madina Munawwara. So we are very fortunate to be performing salah behind such a great personality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us that as we are performing salah here, Allah bless us that we continuously will get the chance many a time to perform salah behind him in Madina Munawwara, inshallah. Secondly, alhamdulillah, with Sheikh, we have another Sheikh and Dr. Abdullah Jarullah, who also resides in Madina Munawwara. He's a qari in the various qiraat, qiraat al-saba, qiraat al-ashara. He's also with us, mashallah. He has studied Madina Munawwara. He has studied in Syria. And he also studied in Misr and Egypt. Mashallah, between himself and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the number of ustaz in between is only 27. So you can imagine how close his contact in the form of his knowledge and his sanad and his certificate to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And also, we thank that alhamdulillah with us, we have Sheikh Muhammad Arifi, who is from the Saudi embassy. Allah Ta'ala give him jazai khair. We have been working with him. And Brother Muhammad Wadi, who is the Tarjuman and the translator today. they had assisted us in organizing this entire program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them all jazayah khair. We now call upon Sheikh, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي شرفنا على سائر الأمم بالقرآن المجيد وقوم به نفوسنا بين الوعد والوعيد أحمده على ما تفضل به من النعم وأسأله المزيد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الغني الحميد وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا وحبيبنا وقائدنا وإمامنا محمدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، Shaykh begins in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praising that Allah has blessed us to be from the ummah, a more superior ummah, for one reason, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the honor of being or following the Holy Quran. Shaykh says in greeting in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and addresses you as his brothers in Islam, brothers for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الله سبحانه وتعالى شرف نبينا وسيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم لتحمل أعباء الرسالة وتبليغ الدعوة فأرسله إلى العالمين، قال تعالى: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله.
Allah has blessed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and has selected our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above all the other prophets to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have not sent you unto mankind except as a rahmah, except as a mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a glad tider, as a warner, to lead the believers towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remove the evil and to establish the good.
ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: إني لم أبعث لعانا ولا طعانا ولكن بعثت معلما ميسرا. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما بعثت بالحنيفية السمحة.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that he was not sent as a curse or a person to bring difficulty upon the ummah, but rather brought as a teacher and educator unto mankind, as a person to make things easy, to make your life easy, to make you achieve success very, very easy. This was the task of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
النبي المعظم والرسول المكرم الجوهرة الباهرة والدرة الزاهرة وواسطة العقد الفاخرة سيد ولد آدم بالاتفاق وخير أهل الأرض على الإطلاق الذي له في قلوب أمته من المحبة والتعظيم والإجلال ما ليس لأحد سواه بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى.
It is this great prophet, this noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all the prophets and the best of mankind, most certainly the best to walk the face of the earth. It is compulsory upon us to show the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to honor the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like we honor no other, but obviously differentiating between the love of Allah and the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
سيد الأنبياء والمقدم لإمامتهم وخير الخلق وصاحب شفاعتهم عبد الله ورسوله ونبيه وصفيه ورضيه ومصطفاه من خلقه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the leader of all the Anbiya, illustrated by the fact that he is the only Prophet to have been the Imam of all other Prophets. Is his Shafi'i, that he is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be granted a special status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide intercession. Abdullah, the slave of Allah, Rasuluhu, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أول من تنشق عنه الأرض وأول شافع وأول مشفع وأول من يقرع باب الجنة يقول له الملك أمرت أن لا أفتح لأحد قبلك.
This is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will be granted a special status on the day of Qiyamah. That is, he would be the first to be resurrected, the first to be allowed to make intercession, and the angels would be commanded, and or they would say that we have been commanded not to open the doors of Jannah until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appears in front of us. That is, he would be the first to enter into paradise.
يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين.
The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has said that no one has got complete iman, no one has got the correct form of iman until such time that his love for me is greater than his parents, his children, and the entire creation.
ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه من أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر بعد إذ أنقذه الله منه.
The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has described three characteristics or three types of people that would achieve the sweetness of iman. The first one is that he loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, he loves other people only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one is that he hates, he despises, he fears for going into kufr once more.
يقول علي رضي الله عنه في وصف حبهم للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والله إنه لأحب إلينا من آبائنا وأمهاتنا وأولادنا وأزواجنا وأموالنا وأحب إلينا من الماء البارد على الظما.
علي رضي الله تعالى عنه describes his love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those around him residing in that particular time, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved to us than our parents, our children, our wives, our wealth and everything that is there, and more wealthy. And we need to describe this as well for my own addition, that understand they were staying in a desert and water was short, it was difficult to get sweet water, and more love beloved to us, that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is more beloved to us than cold water on a hot day.
فالواجب على المسلمين محبة هذا النبي الكريم واتباع شريعته وسلوك منهجه
وتقديم سنته ومنهاجه وطريقته على كل منهاج وطريقة، وعلى كل ولا يقدم على قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قول كائن من كان من الناس.
It is wajib upon every believer, every person that proclaims to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that firstly you need to love. It is compulsory for you to proclaim your love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is this achieved? You need to follow the path of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follows his ways. You need to place his sunnah, his methodology, his advice, his hadith, his lifestyle above the lifestyle or the methodology of everyone else. And we would never, ever place the word or the opinion of any of the creation, no matter what that person is or who the person is, above the words of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَمِن مَحَبَّتِهِ ذِكْرُهُ وَالثَّنَاءُ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كُلَّمَا ذُكِرُ. ففي الحديث البخيل من ذكرت عنده فلم يصل عليه. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام رغم أنف امرئ ذكرت عنده فلم يصل عليه. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من ذكرت عنده فخطئ الصلاة عليه خطئ طريق الجنة.
From the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at any gathering his remembrance, his praise is mentioned, and it is from the rights of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that salutations, durood be sent upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that who is a stingy person is that when the Prophet's name Muhammad is mentioned in the gathering, he does not send salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that woe to that person, destruction to that person, or his path of Jannah, he would be led astray from Jannah as if he's on the wrong road when the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in his gathering, and he does not send salutations upon the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ألا أيها الراج المثوبة والأجرى وتكفير ذنب سالف أنقض الظهر عليك بإكثار الصلاة مواظبا على أحمد الهادي شفيع الورى طرا فقد صح أن الله جل جلاله يصلي على من قالها مرة عشرة. اللهم صل وسلم.
The Pope, the Sheikh mentions to try and put it into the English language, extremely difficult. But Sheikh is explaining, oh follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh person, do you understand the value of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Here's an opportunity for you to send salutations upon the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you not aware that your Creator himself sends salutations upon the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
ومن محبته الشوق إلى رؤيته والشوق إلى لقائه صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام إن من أحب الناس إلي قوم يأتون بعدي يتمنى أحدهم لو رآني بماله وأهله، كما في صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
From the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a believer's desire, strong desire to meet the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to see the Prophet of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith in Muslim, an authentic hadith, mentions that a nation, a time would come when a person would be prepared to sacrifice his life and wealth for a few moments of putting his eyes upon the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ولما حضرت الوفاة بلالا رضي الله عنه قال غدا نلقى الأحبة محمدا وصحبه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
When Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه came to the last moments of death, look at his worry, look at his concern. What does he say? He's pleased at this particular moment that my final of this opportunity has come, so that tomorrow I can meet my friend Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ولا يظن ظان أنه يرى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقظة في هذه الحياة. نعم، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته قد يرى في المنام، من رآه على صفته التي ثبتت في السنة فقد رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما إذا رأى في المنام شخصا ليس على الصفة التي ذكرت في صفة خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم ير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من رآني في المنام فقد رآني فإن الشيطان لا يتمثل بي.
And do not for one moment be under the impression or let anyone be fooled that they would see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a bare form in this life, meaning in your dream. Understand that it is the correct opinion of the ulama that when you see a dream or you see the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its dream, how do you know it is correct? You would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very same perfected manner as mentioned by the different narrations as to the physical appearance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not possible for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not possible for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to appear in a bad condition. Neither could a person be able to say that I've seen the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam other than in a dream, that whilst I'm sitting in a masjid or anywhere else, that I saw a shape or I saw a vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whoever has seen me in a dream in a correct form, understand that most certainly you have seen me, because shaitan cannot imitate or cannot come in the appearance of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
لكن نسأل الله أن نكون من أتباع سنته ليكون من المرافقين له في الجنة بفضل الله ورحمته وإحسانه إنه جواد كريم.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy and His blessings that He allows us to be from the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to grant us the honor of being in the company of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the high stages of Jannah.
ومن محبته اتباع سنته. يقول أبو بكر بن عياش: إن الله بعث محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أهل الأرض وهم في فساد فأصلحهم الله بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فمن دعا إلى خلاف ما جاء به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو من المفسدين في الأرض. ويقول جنيد: كل الطرق مسدودة على الخلق إلا من اقتفى أثر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واتبع سنته فإن طريق الجنة مفتوح له.
From amongst the rights of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that you follow his path and his manner. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash radiallahu anh mentions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come at a time where there was total transgression on the world, and he eradicated this transgression. And thereafter, remember that any one of you from the creation that refused to accept the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would be counted from amongst those transgressors.
ومن تنقص جناب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو تنقص سنته أو استهزأ بها فقد كفر بهذا الدين العظيم وأوجب على نفسه العقوبة العظيمة. وقد أجمع العلماء على قتل من استباح عرض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وفي الصحيح أن رجلا كان من النصارى فأسلم وقرأ البقرة وآل عمران ثم ارتد عن الإسلام ورجع إلى قومه ثم سخر بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلما مات أخذه قومه فدفنوه، فلما جاء من الغد لفظته الأرض، فجاء قومه فوجدوه وقد لفظته الأرض، فقالوا: هذا فعل محمد وأصحابه، فعمقوا له في الأرض ودفنوه. فلما جاء من الغد وقد لفظته الأرض، فقالوا: هذا فعل محمد وأصحابه، فعمقوا له في الأرض ودفنوه، ثم لفظته الأرض للمرة الثالثة فعلموا أنها أنه من الله وليس من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And whoever feels or believes that there is any shortness or any shortage in the commands of the advice of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that does not accept the true message of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
It is unanimous amongst the scholars that such a person would be killed. And it is most certainly correct to say that a person that rejects any of the commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has committed kufr, that is, he falls out of the fold of Islam. Sheikh mentions that there was a time with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a Christian became a Muslim, and he had also learned Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Ali Imran. And thereafter some time he went into kufr, and he went back to his nation and he mocked at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that he mentioned at one time that I am the person that taught Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his message. And after some time he passed away in the state of kufr, and when the people of his town that used to honor him for his words that he used to speak against the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they buried him, the next morning after they buried him, the next morning they came and they found that his body was flung out of the earth, thrown out of the earth. The earth rejected the body. This happened on two occasions. And on the third occasion when they tried to bury him, or prior to that, every time the earth had flung this filthy body out of the earth, the people of the town would say, this surely is the witchcraft, the witch doctor, the magician Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon the third occasion they realized that most certainly this is the punishment of Allah, and it is not the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وبماذا بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ما هي رسالته؟ يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أنا رسول الله بعثني الله إلى العباد ليعبدوا الله وحده ولا يشركوا به شيئا. وجاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: يا محمد، إلى ما تدعو؟ قال: أدعو إلى الله وحده. من إذا كان بك ضر فدعوته كشفه عنك، ومن إذا كنت في عام سنة أي جد فدعوته أنبت لك، ومن إذا كنت في أرض قفر أي ضللت الطريق فدعوته، وما إذا كنت في أرض قفر فدعوته رد عليك. فبعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما هي لإخراج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور، من البدعة إلى السنة، من الكفر إلى الإيمان، من تعظيم المخلوق إلى تعظيم الخالق سبحانه وتعالى، من ألوان الشرور إلى ألوان الخير.
What was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with? What was his message? As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, that I have been dispatched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to instruct to the oneness, the worship of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, understand that Nabi sallallahu is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is his position? Ila man tad'u, that to who does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call to? A person that asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ila Allahi wahda, that is to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the summary, this is the primary principle of the sending of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this mean? That when Nabi sallallahu, or to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is invited to, it is compulsory upon you to answer that particular call by following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you wish to ask for assistance, understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to serve your request. If you are lost, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come to the rescue of you. If you truly put your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is what was the coming of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To remove people from kufr to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remove them from innovation and bring them onto a better constitution, and that is the constitution of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To remove people from bowing down to the creation when you're only supposed to bow down in every matter of the meaning, to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only.
ولكن بعض المسلمين يفعل بعض ما يخالف هذه البعثة وهذه الرسالة العظيمة بجهل منه، ليس عن قصد ولا عن عمد، وإنما عن جهل. فالواجب على المسلم أن ينصح أخاه المسلم، ويبين له شرع الله ودينه. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جاءه 9 نفر أو 10 نفر لمبايعته عليه الصلاة والسلام، فبايع 9 وترك 1. فقالوا: يا رسول الله، بايعت 9 وتركت هذا. قال: إن عليه تميمة. فأخذها الرجل فقطعها، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من تعلق تميمة فقد أشرك. والتمائم نوعان: نوع تمائم من القرآن الكريم، فهذا مما اختلف فيه أهل العلم، والأولى والأفضل عدم تعليقه، لكن يستشفى بالقرآن بالقراءة. والثاني التمائم والحروز التي يذهب بعض المسلمين إلى السحرة والكهنة والمشعوذين والدجالين الذين يدعون علم المغيبات والكشف على المضمرات، وأهل قراءة الفنجان وقراءة الكف، فيعطونهم بعض التمائم والحروز فيعلقونها على أيديهم أو على دوابهم أو في سياراتهم، وكل هذا مما حرمته الشريعة، وجاءت بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمحوه وتحذير الناس منه. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا فسأله فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أتى كاهنا فسأله لم تقبل منه صلاة 40 ليلة. يقول الإمام النووي: مع وجوب أدائها عليه لا تقبل منه. فالواجب أن نحذر أنفسنا ونحذر أحبابنا وإخواننا وأولادنا ومن نحب، نحذرهم من الذهاب إلى السحرة والمشعوذين والدجالين الذين قد يأمرون من يذهب إليهم بالذبح لغير الله أو الذبح للجن أو الذبح للقبور أو الذبح عند عتبة البيت، أو يأمرونه بعقد يحرقها أو يرميها في البحر، فالواجب الحذر من هذا الأمر. بايع 9 وترك 1، فقال: إن عليه تميمة، فأخذها فقطعها. اللي هي إلا
أنا كمل
هذا. إيه عرفته.
إيه أنا عرفته. Sheikh says some Muslims, and truly he needs to stress on this point, that due to their ignorance, it is due to their ignorance, that is because they are not educated, that they fall into transgressing or disobeying or going against the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is compulsory upon a believer that when he sees wrong being done by his fellow believer, that he goes and he advises him in an appropriate manner. On one occasion, Sheikh mentions that 10 people came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and came for the reason of pledging allegiance, bay'ah, to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took abay from 9 people and rejected one. So the people around him were stunned and astonished and requested as to why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had rejected the person's coming and wanting desire to take pledge of allegiance to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned for the reason that he has got a tamima, a charm that is hanging on his body, and for that reason I refuse to take his pledge of allegiance. So this person, upon hearing this, had torn or destroyed this particular charm, which I'm going to define in the next few moments, had destroyed this particular charm, and after that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted his pledge of allegiance. Sheikh says the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the hadith, "Man ta'allaqa tamimatan faqad kafar," that whoever hangs or takes usage or intercedes or seeks assistance from a tamima, from a charm, a lucky charm, some item, some creation that a person depends on, that is a way of linking you via a very long route to Allah, or you think it leads you to Allah, so you're under the impression, let's put it that way, that it leads you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have committed kufr, that is, you have rejected the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Shaykh, with regards to charms or assistance on material creations, that there are two types. One is the type that all the ulama are unanimous upon, that is, you find pieces of paper, etc., where people write different numbers and designs, etc., and you hang it up thinking that it will assist you. Or you would find people depend on lucky charms, rabbit's foot, on pieces of material, on paper, on black cotton with knots, etc. This is where the unanimity of the ulama, it is not permissible in Islam. It falls under that of lucky charms and under kufr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type is that with regards to the ayat of the Quran. And Shaykh says here, there is a great difference of opinion among the scholars in whether using the ayat of the Quran and hanging it on a person's body is appropriate or not. One is that perhaps the ayah of the Quran is written in addition to the person putting other numbers and signs upon it. So there is a mixture between kufr and nur. So for that reason, a person needs to abstain away from it. A person might enter into an inappropriate place with this ayah of the Quran attached to him. Thirdly, Shaykh says, he advises, you rather take the safer path and stay away from hanging even ayat of the Quran, whether it be in your vehicles or cars or your bodies, whatever it may be. Rather be safe and rather resort to what is unanimous, that is, recite ayat of the Quran and blow it upon a person or whatever it may be, or whatever assistance you require. Thereafter, Shaykh mentions that people go towards fortune tellers, magicians, palm readers, under different names and titles and shapes, whatever it may be, and then they take from them different types of assistance which is kufr in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they place it upon the animals, or they put it on their cars or their homes for protection in the doorways, etc. This is definitely haram in the sharia that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come. In a hadith, it is mentioned by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person that comes to a future teller or a magician or a witch doctor and he believes in what the person has to tell him, then you have made kufr, you have made shirk, you have rejected what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such is the danger for a person to go to a witch doctor, that if a person has to go to such a person, a witch doctor, a fortune teller, and he does not believe what is told to him, then for 40 days his ibadah would not be accepted. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says that although it would not be accepted, but a person still has to complete his salah. Does not mean that you have been there for 40 days. Now you say, I'm not going to perform children. It is compulsory upon you to advise your children, your wives, your family members, to all those people that you love for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Islam does not allow a person to seek the assistance of such people. It is not allowed in Islam as well for a person to slaughter animals, whether it be for any human in the creation, for any grave, for any jinn, to burn pieces of paper. Sometimes you get people burning different pieces of paper in their home, taking items been told by the magician to go into the sea and throw it in the sea. This is all shirk. This is not acceptable in the sharia of Islam.
وَإِذَا أَرَادَ الْمَرْءُ دُعَاءَ رَبِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَسُؤَالَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ غَنِيٌّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَلَا يَحْتَاجُ الْمَرْءُ إلى أن يجعل بينه وبين الله واسطة أو شفاعة أحد لا حيا ولا ميتا. أما الحي إذا كان رجل صالح حي يذهب إليه المرء يدعو له بالشفاء أو يدعو له بالرزق فلا بأس، لا بأس أن يذهب الإنسان إلى أن يطلب من الصالحين أن يدعو له بالخير والبركة، وهذا من الوسائل المشروعة. أما إذا كان ميت فلا يجعله بينه وبين الله واسطة، ولا يسأله أن يقربه إلى الله زلفى، إنما يدعو الله سبحانه وتعالى. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: ادعوا وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة، واعلموا أن الله لا يقبل دعاء من قلب غافل ساه. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من لا يدعو الله يغضب عليه.
If a person is in need of assistance, who better to go than to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that is constantly close and watching him, the one that is all hearing and answers all requests, the only this is the Allah that is the only one that has got the capability of answering each and every request that is put forward to him. So go directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is absolutely no need for you to place between yourself and the Creator a means and intermediary. You have got an open channel, a direct channel of communication. Why do you want to interfere with this direct channel when you can communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly? With regards to a person seeking other people's assistance in getting the request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two types. One is to request assistance from a live person or a dead person. In the case of a person being dead, it is totally not permissible, not acceptable for a person to use this dead person as a means to communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for a person that is pious, that is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is permissible for you to go to such a person and request that he requests from his creator, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your particular necessity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to illustrate to us how we need to think of our creator, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your du'as according to your heart. That is, if you have any doubt in the ability of your creator answering your prayers, then there's a chance of your prayer not being accepted. Whilst you have full yaqeen, full faith that what you're asking from Allah, He is going to provide you, most certainly, not pondering of how and why, but just knowing that my Creator is going to give what I require, this is what is required, this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the condition that you need to be in, the mode that you need to program yourself when you are requesting from your Creator.
وَبَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فرط في أمر الصلوات الخمس التي فرضها الله الصلوات الخمس المفروضة المكتوبة فبعض المسلمين يخرج الصلاة عن وقتها فلا يصلي الفجر إلا بعد طلوع الشمس ولا العصر إلا بعد غروب الشمس فمن أراد مرافقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الجنة فليحافظ على هذه الصلوات الخمس المفروضة مع جماعة المسلمين حيث ينادى بهن. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أفضل أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر، ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لقد هممت أن آمر بالصلاة فتقام ثم أخالف إلى قوم لا يشهدون معنا الصلاة فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم بالنار. وقال عنهم: لو يجدون عرقا سمينا أو مرماتين حسنتين لشهدوا العشاء، بمعنى أنهم لا يخرجون للصلاة إلا لغرض الدنيا. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من ترك صلاة العصر فقد حبط عمله. ويقول عبد الله بن مسعود: ولقد رأيتنا وما يتخلف عنها إلا منافق معلوم النفاق، ولقد كان يؤتى بالرجل يهادى بين الرجلين، أي يحمل بين الرجلين حتى يقام في الصف. ويقول سعيد بن مسيب: والله ما فاتتني تكبيرة الإحرام منذ 40 سنة. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أدرك تكبيرة الإحرام مع الإمام 40 يوما كتبت له براءتان، براءة من النار وبراءة من النفاق.
Some Muslim Sheikh explains very sadly has not given the necessary rites with regards to the 5 prayers, and this is something that is compulsory upon every believer without any exclusion, that a person needs to perform 5 prayers a day within its correct times. Sadly, you find a person that takes the salah out of its time. How often have we recited Salat al-Fajr after the sun has risen, or perform Salat al-Asr after the sun has set? And how many of us have left out the salah with the jama'ah in the masjid? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and this we are not even talking of not performing salah. This what Shaykh is speaking about is with regards to not performing salah in a masjid behind the imam or salatul jama'ah. The most difficult of salah the most tiresome, the most burdensome of salah upon a munafiq is that of Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. It is when a person decides that it is or feels it's difficult to come for Salatul Isha, the most difficult. It is not that it did not come, but you find it a burdensome to come for Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. There is fear that you have got the qualities of a munafiq. Some people go for Salah only for the reason that because on the way I need to meet someone and such, and the Prophet of some worldly benefit, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned against such a practice. A person that does not perform Salatul Asr destroys all his deeds. He said in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba would carry the very sick on their shoulders so that they were able to come and perform Salah with Jama'ah in the masjid. How often have we lacked in Salah because we are sick? When we are able to walk ourselves, never allow, we're not even thinking of someone carrying us to the masjid. The Sheikh mentions of a person that for 40 years had performed Salatul Jama'ah, but not only that, that for 40 years he was there at the time of Takbiratul Ihram, that is at the commencement of Salah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that for a person that performs Salah with the Takbiratul Ihram, the first Takbir, the beginning of Salah, for 40 days with Jama'ah, without missing it, that Allah would save him from two things. That is, make him safe from the fire of hell and safe from having or being called or being labeled or being included within the circle of the munafiqeen.
وَقَدْ وَقَعَ بَعْضُ شَبَابِنَا وَفَتَيَاتِنَا فِي بَعْضِ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي حَرَّمَهَا اللَّهِ بسبب مجالسة غير الصالحين والبعد عن المسجد والبعد عن أهل الخير والبعد عن العلماء كالمخدرات والمسكرات والمفترات وفعل الفواحش ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وترك الصلاة. فالواجب علينا أن نرحمهم وأن نشفق عليهم وأن نعطف عليهم ونبذل من أوقاتنا للدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ومناصحتهم وزيارتهم وإرشادهم بالرفق والحكمة والكلمة الطيبة والوجه الحسن والابتسامة بلا سباب ولا شتام ولا تبديع ولا تفسيق ولا تكفير. فالمسلم لا يجوز له أن يبدع أخوه المسلم، لا يجوز أن يرميه ببدعة ولا يرميه بكفر، إنما بالرحمة والشفقة والإحسان ندعوهم ونوجههم ونرشدهم. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. فلا بد أن نتآمر بالمعروف ونتناهى عن المنكر، وينصح بعضنا بعضا بالرفق والكلمة الطيبة، ومن نصح فعليه أن يجيب ويستجيب. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر ولتأخذن على يد الظالم ولتأطرنه على الحق أطرا، أو ليوشكن الله أن يعمكم بعقاب ثم تدعونه فلا يستجيب لك.
شيخ says that sadly amongst us another problem in society is with regards to the young boys and girls, our youth, that they fell into the trap of shaitan and they are drowning with regards to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon them. And the primary reason for them falling in this particular situation is because of their bad company and the farness they're staying away from the masjid, for them not to be spending their time in the gatherings of the ulama and the pious people and the pious youngsters that lies amongst them. They stayed away from this. They are leaving, they are not performing the salah at all. They are involved in drugs and alcohol and zina and adultery. We need to go and we need to go and fetch these youngsters. We need to speak to them, that is, includes the boys and the girls. We need to advise them. But we need, when we advise them, to treat them with love and compassion. It is not permissible for us to put them out of the fold of Islam, that is to call them an unbeliever. Neither is it permissible in Islam for us to embarrass them. Neither is it permissible for us to label them particular names. If a person is an innovator, we call him a bidati. All these things are not permissible in Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that that person, that Allah has allowed another person to be guided, that Allah would grant him or his reward is better than the best female camel. And with regards to the person that is advised, O youngster, O youth, accept the invitation from this particular person. Come back to the way of Islam.
وعلينا أن نحافظ على جماعتنا ووحدتنا ومحبتنا وألفتنا وأخوتنا. فالمسلم أخو المسلم، لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يشتمه. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل المسلم على المسلم حرام، دمه وماله وعرضه وعرضه. فالمسلم لا يأكل عرض أخيه، لا يغتابه ولا ينم عليه ولا يحسد عليه ولا يحقد عليه ولا يتعرض لماله بسرقة أو باعتداء، بل المسلم أخو المسلم، يحوطه ويحفظه. فنحن والحمد لله أمة واحدة، شرفنا الله بالإسلام وشرفنا الله بالقرآن وشرفنا الله بأن كنا من أتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلا بغضاء ولا عداوة ولا حقد ولا كراهية بين المسلمين، بل حب ووئام وائتلاف واجتماع واتفاق وتعاون وتكاتف وتساند. ولا يجوز للمسلم أن يشذ عن جماعة المسلمين أو يخالفهم. فالخير والبركة في التعاون والاجتماع، والشر والفتنة في الاختلاف والتفرق. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا.
Sheikh says another thing that we really need to concentrate on and take very, very close to our hearts is to protect our unity. A Muslim brother is a brother to his fellow Muslim. It is not permissible in Islam to swear, to curse, to belittle, to take away from his rights, to oppress such a person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it very, very clear that the wealth of your brother, his blood, his all his property, all this is protected under the name of Islam. That is, it is haram upon you to go and to interfere or to take from that particular person's, whether it be his life or his wealth or his inheritance. A person, unfortunately, we find one brother taking, stealing, deceiving, tricking his fellow Muslim brother. This is totally not permissible in Islam. Rather, we need to start cooperating with each other, protecting each other, assisting each other. We are very proud to say that we are ummatun wahida, that we are one ummah. We are the followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has bestowed upon us the Quran. He's bestowed upon us Islam. He's made us and bestowed upon us the benefit, the favor of being the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should we not appreciate these favors in particular by cooperating and assisting and maintaining the unity amongst ourselves? It is not permissible in Islam to be enemies, to dislike other people. Rather, we need to cooperate and love each other. It is not permissible in Islam for a person to break from the ranks of the believers. Unity is something that is compulsory in Islam. And with unity, there is khair and barakah. In cooperation, there is khair and barakah. That is, there is good and there is blessings. People will be able to coexist properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us. And we have been very clearly commanded in the Quran, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Do not be disunited. We need to overlook the small issues. We need to come together. Allah has blessed us, and I repeat, with the Quran, the Islam, and with followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to unite around this.
وَأُوصِيكُمْ وَأُوصِي نَفْسِي بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ قِرَاءَةً وَتِلَاوَةً وَتَدَبُّرًا وَتَفَهُّمًا وَقِرَاءَةً فِي التَّفْسِيرِ وَمَعْرِفَةً لِلْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ وَسُؤَالَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ العلماء عما يشكل في القرآن العظيم. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله كان له به حسنة، والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف، ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: الماهر بالقرآن مع السفرة الكرام البررة، والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. فلنجتهد في قراءة القرآن ولا نهجر كتاب الله. ينبغي للمسلم أن يجعل له وقت يومي لقراءة القرآن وحفظ شيء منه، وإذا تيسر حفظه كله فهذا من نعمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. فكل حرف، قراءة كل حرف من القرآن بحسنة، والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. الحجاج بن يوسف أرسل الحسن البصري وعاصما الجحدري ومالك بن دينار وغيرهم من القراء لعد حروف القرآن، فكانوا يأخذون الشعيرة، كلما جاءوا حرف وضعوا شعيرة، فوجدوا أن حروف القرآن 323,015 حرفا، 323,015 حرفا. فما هي الأجور التي سيحصلها من قرأ القرآن؟ والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. لنضرب 323,015 حرفا في عشر حسنات، فكيف بمن يكرر حفظ القرآن ويختم مرة بعد أخرى؟ لما حضرت الوفاة عبد الله بن إدريس بكت ابنته، فقال لها: يا بني لا تبكين في بيت ختمت فيه القرآن 4,000 ختمة. وسئلت أخت مالك بن أنس: ماذا كان شغل مالك في بيته؟ قالت: كان شغله المصحف والتلاوة.
شيخ رباز، with regards to the Quran, this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed to, upon the chest of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take upon it, recite it daily, learn it, understand it, go and read the tafsir, the meaning, the explanation of the Quran. Do not stay away from the ulama with regards to the meanings as well. Go to them on a daily basis, inquire from them. What does the Quran say? It is not a book, it is what your creator says. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? With regards to the recital of the Quran, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us, that a person that recites every word is granted ten rewards. And what is this word? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alif Lam Mim is not considered a word. Alif is considered a word, Lam a word, Lam a word, and Mim a word. That is, in this particular word there are 30 rewards. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned that the best from amongst you is the one that learns the Quran and thereafter gives his knowledge to other people, that he teach other people the Quran as well, and give glad tidings as well to that person that has specialized in the recital of the Quran. And even greater reward lies for that person that feels that he is not capable of reciting the Quran, but after seeking the knowledge, still stutters on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a double reward in that person that easily recites the Quran. Shaykh says, put a particular time away every day, on a daily basis, that you recite the Quran, that you memorize the Quran, and some, how fortunate, have completely memorized the entire Quran. Shaykh mentions an incident that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf sent out some companions in his time to go and count the number of words that lie in the Quran. So they began taking barley seeds, and it took them about 4 months. It took them some time to count the words in the Quran, and finally they arrived at the number of 323,015 words in the Quran. This is full words. We are not talking of the individual alphabets. So what great reward lies in for a person that has completed the Quran once? And then we ask ourselves the question, what about the person that completes the Quran overs and overs and overs again? Sheikh mentions that Abdullah ibn Idris, that when he had passed away, his daughter mentioned that in this home, in his lifetime, the Quran was completed, was recited more than 4,000 times. And the sister of Malik ibn Anas radiallahu anhu as well mentions that this house, what was it built? What was it built upon and what was it established upon? It was established upon the Mus'haf and recital, that is the Quran in its written form, and the recital, the words of Malik ibn Anas. That's the only thing they saw him reading, whether it was looking in the Quran or by memorization.
وقد سرني ما شاهدت والحمد لله من المسلمين في جنوب أفريقيا من انتشار المدارس وانتشار تعليم القرآن تعليم السنة وكثرة الحفظة حفظة القرآن والخير الكثير والحمد لله وهذا سرني كثيرا ومن ذلك ما سيكون هذه الليلة من ختم ثلاثة من أبنائنا للقرآن العظيم فهذه نعمة عظيمة نشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى عليها وندعو جميع أولادنا للمبادرة للالتحاق بتحفيظ القرآن وحفظه وتلاوته وتدبره والاستفادة من أهل العلم والعلماء وعلينا جميعا أن نجل علماءنا ونجل العلم ونحترم من هو أسبق منا في الشريعة وفي العلم وفي المعرفة وينبغي لصغار طلاب العلم أن لا يتسرعوا في الفتوى وأن يتركوا الفتوى لأهل العلم ولعلنا الآن إن شاء الله نسمع تلاوة الثلاثة الذين إن شاء الله سيختمون القرآن وبعد ذلك إن شاء الله يحصل إن شاء الله تعليق على بعض ما هو فيه حقيقة ورقة أن في حضور من النساء ويرغبون في توجيه كلمة لهن فأقول للحاضرات من المؤمنين من المؤمنات القانتات الصادقات الخاشعات المتصدقات الصائمات الذاكرات الله كثيرا نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فيهن وأن يوفقهن لخدمة دينهن وخدمة أزواجهن وتربية أولادهن ودعوة النساء الأخريات إلى ما فيه الخير والبركة والصلاح فالمرأة المسلمة لها قدرها ومكانتها ورفعتها فهي الأم وهي الزوجة وهي الأخت وهي البنت وقد أوصانا الله بهن أوصانا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بهن قال استوصوا بالنساء خيرا فالواجب علينا قبول وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإكرامهن وعدم إهانتهن وعلى الأزواج والزوجات أن يكون بينهن المودة والرحمة والتعاطف والتكاتف والتعاون وإعانة المرأة في بيتها وأداء حقها من النفقة والكسوة وعدم الإضرار بها وعدم ظلمها وإذا حصل بين الزوج والزوجة شقاق أو سوء تفاهم فالواجب عليهم معالجة هذه الأمور بالحكمة والمحافظة على أسرار الأسرة فإن تعذر الإصلاح حكموا بينهما من أهل الخير والصلاح من يحل بينهما هذه المشكلة فإن تعذر وحصل طلاق وفراق فالواجب على كل واحد منهما أن يحفظ عرض الآخر كما قال تعالى ولا تنسوا الفضل بينكم وأن يجنب الأولاد المشاكل الزوجية وكل إنسان يقوم بما أوجب الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه وأوصي النساء بالدعوة إلى الله ونشر حفظ القرآن بين النساء ونشر السنة وتربية الأولاد والعناية بهن وخاصة في أمر الصلاة والعناية بدراستهم والحذر من تركهم يجوبون الشوارع ويصاحبون من يشاءون، فأخطر ما يكون على الأبناء هو الجليس السوء. جليس السوء يدمر صاحبه ويدعوه إلى أماكن اللهو والفجور وغشيان أندية الضلال والباطل، وقد يوقعه فيما حرم الله سبحانه وتعالى. فنحذر أولادنا وفتياتنا من جلساء السوء، كما قال الصاحب ساحب. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا تصاحب إلا مؤمنا، ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. ويقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما جلس قوم مجلسا فلم يذكروا الله ولم يصلوا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا قاموا عن جيفة حمار، عن مثل جيفة حمار. وفي لفظ: إلا كان عليهم ترة، أي نقصا. فالواجب أن نصلح مجالسنا ونصلح أنديتنا ونصلح الصاحب، نختار الصاحب من الرجال. ابن الرجال إذا أردت إخاءهم وتوسما أمورهم وتفقدي، فإذا ظفرت بذي الأمانة والتقى فبه قرير عين فاشتدي. فالحذر الحذر من الأشرار، والحذر الحذر من جلساء السوء، كما قال الله عز وجل: الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. وفي سورة الصفات قال: هل أنتم مطلعون؟ فاطلع فرآه في سواء الجحيم، قال: تالله إن كدت لتردين، ولولا نعمة ربي لكنت من المحضرين. وفي الآية الأخرى: يا ليت بيني وبينك بعد المشرقين فبئس القرين. فالجلساء جلساء السوء يوم القيامة يتبرأ بعضهم من بعض ويلعن بعضهم بعضا، ولا حول ولا قوة. فأحذر إخواء أبناءنا من جلساء السوء، بل عليهم أن يكونوا مع آبائهم وأمهاتهم، وأن يكونوا مع علمائهم، وأن يكونوا مع الأخيار من العلماء وأئمة المساجد. هذا هو الذي ينبغي، وهذا هو الذي فيه الخير والبركة. نعم.
If you give me permission about the change, I'm going to put Sheikh's advice first before the final part. I think it will be more appropriate. Sheikh was given a request to give a special word, a special advice upon him hearing and making him happy with regards to the many ladies that are present today. And Sheikh gives him special advice that they are, and address them as our fellow sisters in Islam and believers, people that also fast and perform salah and do other good deeds. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them in their lives and to enable them to serve the religion, to serve their husbands and their families as well. They also require, it is upon you, O sisters in Islam, that you call other ladies as well to the following of the Sunnah and the Quran. A Muslim lady, Sheikh explains, that most certainly, O sister, you have a very special status in Islam. Your position as a daughter, as a sister, as a wife, and as a mother, all this has got a special place in Islam and a very strategic and important role that you need to realize. And it is important as well that you accept the wasiyah, the advices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh then goes on to address the males that you need to treat your wives with love and mercy. You need to coexist in a very cooperative manner. You need to assist them in the homes as well. You need to complete their rights. Allah has put certain things upon you, O husbands, that you need to complete their rights with regards to clothing and spending and wealth, etc. And in a sad case of some problems existing, that you need to solve this very, very wisely and in a very humble and very appropriate manner. And sadly you find that from the home, that especially that where problems occur, that secrets of husband and wife that only supposed to remain there is now spread out, and he warns against this. And for those people that are involved in marriage resolution, that you need to assist, it is a great reward to try and solve the problems amongst the people. And if the decision in the particular nasty situation of a marriage, that is, it's not a very happy marriage, has to result in divorce, let it not be that the husband now begins to swear and curse and spoil the reputation of the wife, or the other way around as well. O lady in Islam, or sister in Islam, it is your duty to make da'wah, to spread the word, to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also for you to memorize the Quran, to recite it, to learn it, and to practice it. For you to make sure that you play, you are the most strategic role player in the upbringing of your children. And when you bring up your children, let us enforce in them the first and most important principle is that of them performing salah. You play a strategic role in the education, and you need to make sure you perfect this particular role. And then with regards to your children as well, O sisters in Islam, you are in charge and you need to look after their company. Do not leave them to be in just any company. A bad friend is the most dangerous of weapons to destroy the future of your child. And a bad friend most certainly is going to lead to the destruction of that particular child, of that particular friend. And being in a company being in bad company is most certainly going to lead for your child to fall into haram. For you to select his friends, to look after it, to make sure that the person, his friend, is a believer. As mentioned, that a person should not be a friend except of a believer, and don't eat except in the home of a pious person. Secondly, when we sit in gatherings, especially for the ladies, when we sit and we discuss, and we call it, Sheikh doesn't know the word, when we have our panchayat sessions, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and send salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you do not do so, you most certainly will be from amongst the people that are regretful. We need to stop blaming each other with regards to our children's problems, etc. That we need to come and we need to take responsibility and look after our children. Sheikh went on again to stress the importance of selecting your children's company. Let it be, and our children that are present in this gathering, take your friends to be your parents. That is, take your parents to be your friends, your mother, your father, the ulama, the imams of the masjid. Rather spend your time in their company. Then, what Sheikh said previously, which actually is the conclusion, is that he is indeed very happy that he has come to South Africa and he has met all these faces, and they have really honored him, and he was truly impressed by seeing the implementation of the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with this regards and appropriate to this particular occasion, to see the number of youngsters that have memorized the Holy Quran. And it is an honor this night that today we also have three young members of our society, of our Muslim community, that will be completing the Quran, that is, they have completed the memorization of the Holy Quran, and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favor. And let this gathering be a source of encouragement to other young people that are sitting in this gathering, and for you to send that message as well, that let us go and let us begin to memorize the Quran, to learn it, to understand it. Let us seek the ulama, are not here just to send out statements once a month. They are there for you to seek benefit from them, to accompany them, to learn from them, and to respect them. And with regards to advice to the ulama, that you need to respect knowledge, you need to respect ilm, that do not look to a person because you have got a personal problem with such and such a person, but look to the ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in his chest, and for you to take from the knowledge. And with regards to fatwa, to passing laws, this lies only, it has only the permissibility for the respected, the appropriate ulama to make these decisions. It is not for the general public to involve themselves and to pass fatwas, or for even a scholar that is not qualified to pass particular fatwas or religious injunctions. And the Sheikh completes, and he asks that those pre-hafidh of Quran will come forward, and I hand over to Maulana Musa to complete that.
Mashallah, I'll call the others to come forward while waiting for them, inshallah.
Mashallah.
Ahmed. Silver Corolla ND472679. Kindly remove your car from the driveway. Silver Corolla. Call upon Ahmed ibn Musa all the to the side first. He has finished 10 chapters of the Quran.
وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم.
We now call upon
البركة جميعا. ندعو له بالبركة جميعا.
We now call upon Hafiz Musa Ashraf Ghani, who is a student of Falah College, resident of Reservoir Hills, and his ustad is Maulana Yusuf Ibrahim Saleh. Mashallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين ومريم ابنة عمران التي أحصنت فرجها فنفخنا فيه من روحنا وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه وكانت من القانتين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
Allah Ta'ala make you remain a Hafiz forever. Now call upon the next Hafiz, Hafiz Muhammad, son of Hafiz Ismail Dawood, also a student of Falah College from Ashaval, and his ustad is Maulana Yusuf Ibrahim Salehji.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين ومريم ابنة عمران التي أحصنت فرجها فنفخنا فيه من روحنا وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه وكانت من القانتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل